XFM 104.9, sunny day, 2007.
It's going so well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Going so well,
Ricky Gervais.
Once again, the English language tripped you up.
The mouth with the tongue lips.
Exactly.
Was all over the brain and talk. The brain and talk through the throat. Oh, dear.
Oh, language is his tool. So, Rick, I think we should do some introductions, because I think it seems to me every week we kind of, everyone knows who you are, because you're, you know, the face of the moment, but they forget who, you know, me and the K-Man are.
Well, with me, Steve Merchant.
Hi.
And the K-Man, who's our producer and friend. And can I just say that I really look forward to this show.
Oh.
Like, I get, oh great, we're going to do a show and we're going to play some tracks we like and have a laugh. But now it's, I'm looking forward to meeting Carl.
Of course.
Honestly, I come in and I see his face and I go, alright. And I'm, you know, I just great, like just a little friend. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You know when a kid comes around to play with him and you go, oh, and can I come out to play? And it's like little friends. It's like that with Carl.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't see him in the week, you see. We deliberately stay away from him in the week so that he'll, you know, he'll be fresh to us.
Yeah, it was, go on.
You start off friendly, like you did today, and as soon as Steve turns up, you start getting nasty and saying things about my little bald head.
No, I said, look, okay, right, listen, let me explain. Carl was making the tea, and you know those bins, the sort of like a round sort of Metal Mickey type bin that you can take off the thing? I went, oh, that would make a good little helmet. It would make it look like Metal Mickey because it's the same shape as his head.
Sure.
Right? And I put it on and-
So far, so good, Rick. No problem there. That's just two mates having a laugh.
Right.
You're putting a bin on another man's head.
Right. So I put it on and the swing bit, through gravity and the angle, swung and hit him in the nose.
Sure.
Right? He went, ow! And I went, I said something like, it's alright.
Yeah, of course, because you were being amused.
Yeah, I said, it's alright, don't worry.
Yeah.
And he went, no, I've just washed my hair.
Yeah.
That annoyed me.
That did annoy you, sure.
Because just because there was lots of, like, shit and coffee and horrible gunk
on his hair or?
No, in in the inside of the bin.
Sure.
But what annoyed me is he's hardly got any hair.
Let's be honest, he looks like Moby.
Yeah, so I said, I took the bin off.
Yeah.
And I was having a laugh, and I thought, You
ruined my fun, is what you
said. Do you know what I mean? I said, wash your hair. I said, we could do that now in 30 seconds.
Yes.
And he looked at me like I was in the wrong.
I know. Rick, so that annoys me about him.
I know.
That doesn't annoy me about him.
But
otherwise, he's like childlike.
Yeah,
you know, in so many ways. He doesn't understand that he's hurting your emotions and your
feelings. Yeah. But also, right, we were playing football. So I can't play football, right? And so we were playing.
Was that just in the office or?
Yeah, just in the office before he came, right? And we were sort of kicking it back and forth, and I started kicking it a bit hard. And but he was quite good. I said, this is great, right? And we finished anyway because we thought we'd break something. And I went, I bet you were quite good at football, weren't you? And I thought he looked like quite a natural, you know, I thought he'd be good, he's from the north, and I thought that's all he'd have.
Yeah,
I
mean, exactly.
And he went, I said, I suppose you're quite good at football, and he turned the quickest flash and went, I've scored once. Right? He said, and that's because I was being chased by a bee. And I went, save it.
Yeah.
He went, no, I said, please save it, because I want to tell Steve that. No, you can continue now.
Please tell us the rest of the story. You've scored a goal once because you've been chased by a bee.
Yeah, you've done it now, really. Was on the,
there must be more to that story, hey, man.
I was in the school team. I wasn't that good as a kid at football, to be honest. mainly down to, I think it's because of my dad wasn't into football.
Right.
And I think that's the way it works, isn't it? If your dad's into it, then you could be a footballer when you're older.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because you're into it. And, so I was in the school team because I got on with the other lads.
Uh-huh.
And they let me in the team.
Popular guy, yeah. Sure.
And, yeah, I was stood there doing nothing because I didn't really know what to do. I never knew which way I was meant to be shooting.
Yeah.
Got all that messed up.
Yeah, that is a problem.
I just stood there, right, and, with my hands behind my back. And, something landed on me, on, like, this part of me thumb.
You can't just point, it's radio.
It's this bit here.
Right, yeah.
The fleshy bit of the thumb.
And I thought, oh, what's that? And I looked down, and
it was
a bee.
Oh, it was a bee, yeah.
It was a bee on me. So I start running,
yeah.
Try to get away from it, and bees. Actually, something interesting about bees. More chance of getting stung by a bee in windy weather than any other sort of weather.
That's incredible.
Anyway, so I'm running away.
And he said there was no more.
Extraordinary. I've already learned many, many things. You're being chased by the bee. It's
so
windy.
I'm running.
It's on your thumb. Is it still on your thumb now?
It's sort of gripping onto me like a stag beetle.
Clever.
Like a stag beetle. I love it. Oh,
or a bee.
Yeah.
I'm running. And I'm running towards, like, the goal.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And the ball comes to me.
Yes.
Wallop, get it in.
Brilliant. What happened to the bee there? Did it sting you?
They die, don't they?
I mean, ultimately it died, sure, but at that particular moment, did it sting you?
This was probably about 20 years ago, so I imagine.
No. Once a bee stings you.
So did it sting
you? Yeah, but did it sting you?
Yeah.
Right, that was the question.
When did it sting you?
When I was playing football.
No.
Carl, do you want me asking? You say you're on the school football team. Was there just 11 boys at your school?
Listen, Carl. Oh, what I mean is, at what point in this story did the bee sting you? Straight away?
After half time.
Play a record, man.
It's about 17 minutes past one on this Saturday. Go on. Will never interrupt me when it's going that well.
Sorry, I don't know what I was thinking of.
That was my record. That was about 4 or 5 sentences.
True, true. I don't know what I was thinking.
Semantic syntax, there was capital letters, full stops, grammar, everything.
You didn't even get the time out, did you? What time was it? Quick, what time was it? I interrupted, sorry, I should have.
17 minutes fast.
I was so eager.
One. XFM 104.9, I'm Ricky Gervais. With me,
Steve Merchant. Smirch.
And the K-Man.
The K-Man. We're all giving ourselves nicknames now. Yeah. Can I just clear something up? This is only a very, very personal thing. Lots of people who listen to the show that I've spoken to, friends of friends and stuff, they think that I'm the guy that plays Gareth in The Office. Because my voice is obviously very similar.
It couldn't be further than the truth.
That's so not the case. If anyone's listening, they think it's me.
Further than the truth.
I don't want
to
take credit for Mackenzie's performance. That's a guy called Mackenzie Crook. He's a brilliant actor. Yeah. Everyone's seen his performance. It's not me. Admittedly, he has loosely based his accent for the character on my accent, because obviously it's a comical accent. We all admit that.
Yeah.
We'll agree with that. But that's it. That's where the similarity ends.
Yeah. Mackenzie's a good looking fellow, isn't he?
He's a good looking lad.
I mean, that's not
you're not having to dig at me, I know, because you're saying I'm a good looking guy as well. You're saying we're two differently good-looking guys.
Yeah, Carl, it's all people are all different looks. I mean, you could say Brad Pitt's good-looking, and then you could say George Clooney's good-looking, and they're both great-looking blokes. They don't look alike.
Exactly.
So for me to say Steve and Mackenzie aren't alike, Mackenzie's a good-looking fella.
Exactly.
If you look at the Venn diagram there, they weren't mutually exclusive. There would be a crossover of good-lookingness.
Yeah, and I'm in that pool with Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Wow.
Well, it's quite a big pool, Rick, and I'm in there, certainly with them.
Yeah, not... Yeah.
I mean, I'm in one of those Venn diagram circles.
You are, yeah. You're over this one.
I noticed that's a separate one, floating off from all the others.
Yeah, lizards and parrots.
Ah, right.
Okay,
right. It's good to be included in something, though. It's good to be part of a gang, Carl. That's very important.
Yeah.
And if that's cleared up...
Depeche Mode good. There, and I Feel Loved. Who'd have thought Depeche Mode would have been that huge? I think I've seen little lads from Basildon with little plinky plonky sound. I thought that'd be it. They'd be like Visage or something. Mm. That'd be it. And now they're stadium rock fillers. They're huge. They conquered America. He went through some hard times. He came out the other way. And well done.
But see, I think this what you just said there is a very good example of why they are and why certain other bands aren't. Because if you think about it, for me, you see, whenever I think of a band name, if I see a new band's come along or whatever, I always use a very simple test, which is, can you imagine that you're the announcer at a huge event? Maybe it's like broadcasting around the world, like Live Aid or
Nelson
something.
Nelson Mandela
or
concert.
Or it's a Nelson Mandela Freedom concert.
Yeah.
And you can imagine someone
He's there.
Nelson's there.
Yeah, with the Spice Girls.
Oh, they're all there. But you can imagine someone saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Depeche Mode."
The Rolling Stones. The Who.
Exactly. But you can't imagine someone saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Visage."
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome our headline act? Welcome, Idlewild.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Ned's Atomic Dustbin. Do you know what I mean? You just know
the Levellers!
Some bands aren't going to make it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Mega City 4! Do you know what I mean?
It's just a simple test. We'd like you to do that at
home. If you're thinking of starting a band, or you've just named your band, you're just beginning, just phone in, tell us, or email in, tell us what your band name is, and we will use that simple test.
And we will do the test. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome to the stage...
The Frankenwalters!
Jimmy Eat World.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Cooper Temple Claws. I don't think it's going to happen for those lads.
It's a good one.
It's a simple test, anyway, but...
100 Reasons, please welcome to the stage, 100 Reasons.
100 Reasons I think would work quite well. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome to the stage, Pop Will Eat Itself. Carl, have you got like a sound effect or something of like...
Cheering. We'll seek it out with...
Have you got something there? Have a look on there. I'm just looking in the NME for the kind of forthcoming gigs of the smaller known bands, and it might be a useful place to just begin the.
Ladies and gentlemen, peoples around the world, will you please welcome to the stage Chumba Awamba?
Have you got a sound effect? Have you got one? Nice, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome to the stage the Parkinsons? Playing in Leicester this week, so look forward to
that. That's a good plug, isn't it?
Let me see who else.
If anyone wants to pop down to Leicester to see the Parkinsons,
ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Cyclefly.
Okay, okay.
Oh, there's a genuine one here. This is someone, Simon's emailed in. He says, will you just test this name for us? Okay, Carl, if you can, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome to the stage, Coach? Not utterly convinced.
No.
It's not too bad. It's not too
I'm worried about the sound effect. We start to sound like Chris Moyles or something.
Moyles, well, effect. He's a top broadcaster. Everyone loves him.
Losing weight as well.
He is hilarious. Funny, funny man. Just, there's one more coming here. I'll just check this one.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome, this is Chris in Oxford. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, meanwhile back in communist Russia.
Is that a band?
I assume so.
I assume it's his band.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, how does he listen to us in, hold on, man, this is only local radio. How does he listen to us in Oxford?
Well, if only there was some kind of digital format that he could listen via the web net.
What is it?
What is the,
what is it?
What?
How does he listen in Oxford?
He can listen on Sky Digital.
Go on.
Channel 864.
Lovely.
864. Yeah.
And, on the web.
Yeah.
Okay, what would that web address be?
xfm.co.uk.
Sure.
Click on the audio.
Yep.
And, you get XFM 10 seconds behind. It actually happened.
Perfect.
Just out of interest, what's the point of saying that they, if they can't sort of get us in London to listen to that because they won't be, and they're either in London, so they won't go through this nonsense, or they're in Leicester, and they can't hear us saying Sky Digital.
Yeah, we haven't thought that through at all.
Because you might work in London for a bit, and then have
go back and spread the word.
And, like, leave.
Yep. Go back and spread the word, disciples.
Move back to Leicester.
Yeah.
Tell your mates.
Yeah.
Soon, there's any number of combinations.
Soon, XFM is the most listened to radio station in Britain.
Yeah.
What we need is people on Radio 2 to give it a plug every day.
That'd be ideal.
Yeah, or Radio 1.
Yeah. Any of the big rivals. Virgin. Yeah. I mean, we've often plugged Virgin. It's a good station.
105.8 Virgin Radio London.
It's a great station. Really good station.
Heart 106.2.
Lovely.
You're listening to Magic 105.4.
Are you getting, you're getting quite a lot of voiceover work now, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
That's not.
I've stopped with that though.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's all right. It's good.
Well, I'm all right now. I've got a bit of money.
Classic 60s bands, I've just suddenly. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome to the stage The Scaffold?
Oh, The Scaffold.
You remember The Scaffold, Carl?
You picked the lead singer looks a bit like him. But you know whose brother that is in The Scaffold, don't you? Mike McGear. Do you know whose brother that is?
What?
Do you remember The Scaffold? They did We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink,
the human race.
Yeah, thank you very much for the entry, Ian. Do you know whose brother that is?
Whose brother? The lead singer?
No, the Mike McGear in it. The sort of one of the main men in it.
He's one of the songwriters in
The
Scaffold.
Paul McCartney.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, that's Paul McCartney's brother. Think of that when they go in for Christmas. So I think Lily the Pink was what, about 1970?
Yeah. It was number one, wasn't it? Christmas
number
one?
Yeah, big number one, yeah. I might don't know if it was Christmas number one. Two Little Boys was 1969.
It definitely was number one.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was
Scaffold.
It was, because
I remember it was, I did it in
really?
Some
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
So they go home at Christmas and Mrs. McCartney goes, "All right, boys, how are you, Paul? How are you doing? I'm just starting a new band called Wings." So this is Linda. "All right, Dave, sit down. Mike, what are you doing?" "Just had a number one." Brilliant, round of applause. "How many number ones do you have, Paul?" 19. Still. We know what we like, don't we?
We'll drink the human race.
Paul goes, "Wow, if you want to. The long and winding
boring. We'll drink a drink. Linda, do you want to be in The Scaffold? We're probably going to go on tour and stuff. I know you love it. Well, I quite like it. Yeah, we'll drink a drink.
You're not going to be in Wings if you're going to play with him.
Well, I got make a tricky decision. I mean, that's a great song. Everyone's loving it. It's Christmas number one.
What are you doing eating his bacon?
Well, I love it.
You don't eat bacon.
Yeah, but I love the music. He's a great guy.
Stop it! What are you doing?
Well, I just I love the music. We'll drink a drink. No, you don't.
Yesterday. All my troubles seem so- Oh, shut up.
Thank you very much for the-
Adrian Iron! Dandy Warhols. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Dandy Warhols.
There you are, it's never gonna
That
happen.
Sounds like Levellers crossed with Wonder Stuff.
Rubbish, isn't it? Really. I mean, it's fine, it's chirpy.
It's a nice old song, but it's not-
It's that thing of it's just not essential. You just don't really need it in your life. If it never occurred, you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
You know.
You know what Carl just said?
Go on.
Were you listening?
Not really.
He looked out the window, and he looked at me, and he was looking at me, and I looked over at him, and I said, "See, now's the that would be good to die now." I'm like, "What?" He went, "That weather, that would be good to die." And I said, "Of what?" He went, "Old age."
Yeah.
What's going on up there?
He's a philosopher, Rick.
He is, isn't
he's
he?
On a different plane
no, you can't
to us.
Just say it like that. The other week, I came in when it was really miserable, and I said to you, God, can you imagine dying today?
Yeah.
Because
whereas today you feel it would be a much better day to die because it's bright.
The curtains open, sun sure. shining. It's like.
I mean, you'd still be a bit angsty about the dying thing, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't suppose that would be alleviated.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll still be broadcasting, you know, when one of us reaches that happy moment and we can check.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of emails, Rick, coming in about band names. I think a lot of people are going wrong for a simple reason. They think it's funny to have an ironic band name.
Yeah.
They think it's a bit comical. And I just don't think there's any great bands that have had a comical name that have made it into stadium filling.
What was that band, Where's Me Jumper? What were they called?
I don't know what they were called. I mean, the obvious example of one that was never going to make it internationally.
Splodgeness Abounds? Splodgeness Abounds?
No.
I like them, though.
Splodgeness Abounds?
Splodgeness Abounds, they were great.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Carter the Unstoppable Sex Machine!
USM.
These are some of the ones we've had emailed in. These are bands, obviously, that haven't made it so far, and I don't think they will. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, The Lazy Birds. Nope.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, The Paperclips.
That's not a real band,
that's what
is
someone
it?
Sent in.
I know, but, yeah, but no band name is weirder than the others, and also you grow into it. I mean, the Stones and the Beatles are iconic because they are iconic bands.
What, you think you'll grow into? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shuttle Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Treehouse Casino. I don't think they're gonna-
That's just made up!
Well, possibly.
Well, they all are,
but they
obviously.
All are. But my point is, people say there's no logic to band names, but if you think a band name like The Smiths,
great.
That's genius.
It is,
it sums up everything that band is about, you know, the kind of- they're capturing that mediocre world of grim up northness, you know-
My favourite, Sonic Youth.
Sonic Youth is genius.
Nirvana.
These are incredible band names, so there is some logic to it.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe it. It's not just arbitrary words.
What about
The
Madness?
Cure. The Cure.
Madness sounds rubbish, but they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, but again, they were never gonna be- They were never going to be world beaters.
But they were a comical band, essentially.
Yeah,
they were a knees-up party band, and Madness is fine for that.
But they had some great songs as well, and it sort of turned it all, because then-
I mean, Rick, I don't know how many members-
Not Home Today is a great song, and
this is from an email. I don't know how many members of the band there are in Chimney Factory, but which- If there's five people, who decided? Had they all agreed? Yeah, that's the best name
we've
come up with.
Do you know who decided? Del.
Right.
He started the band and they rehearsed around his house, so Dale went, look, it's called Chimney Factory, because my granny's doing it. They go, alright Dale, but it's not, I've got some other, but no, it's called Chimney Factory.
I own the van and the amps.
As Paperclips gone, there's a band in Leicester called Paperclips. We can't, you know, we'd just argue over that forever.
Anyway, just all I'm saying is think before you name your band, alright? Because it's never going to happen if you've got a comical band name.
There was a feminist band called Clitoris All Sorts, which is quite good, isn't
it? But you laugh, and then you just think, oh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never gonna have that on my t-shirt. Imagine that. Clitoris All Sorts.
It's that time of the day now, talking of that.
Yep.
Song for the Lovers.
Sure, it's beautiful.
Now, Steve, I mean, I will play great old tunes till the cows come in. We got to give them a little bit of Dandy Warhols and Air and Athlete. I know that, and they're great, they're good, right? But, I wanted to play a Cat Stevens song, but I thought I'd better not, because I've, you know, play that a little bit. And we quite like resurrecting old reputations, don't we? People like Elton John who had bad faces, or David Bowie. And,
people whose names now are largely laughed at in the serious rock
circles. Or
people
that people might not have considered. I thought Cat Stevens, oh no, Rod Stewart, I thought.
Well, see, Rod Stewart, many people now are thinking of the Leopard, Hot Pants, and the Ludicrous Hair.
Think I'm Sexy, and all those sort of awful stadium sort of disco things. But he wrote beautiful tracks from Maggie May through. And I thought, hold on, two birds with one stone. What about a Rod Stewart song? Written by Cat Stevens.
Wow. Is there such a thing?
The first cut is the deepest.
Let's hear it, Rick.
On this album as well is The Killing of George. Georgie Part 1 and 2, remember? About the gay bloke. Georgie Boy was gay, I guess. His favourite song. Cole's favourite song.
Yeah.
Right? And I was going, oh yeah, I remember that, yeah. I said about, and I said, did not intend to take his life. He just pushed it when he gets mugged and killed. Do you know what he said?
Go on.
I was sitting outside, I was singing, I'm taking a bit. He went, well, I said, as I said, they go out too late.
They go out too late?
He meant gay people go out too late. He went, no, they do. I went, what do you mean? He said, they're always out, they go out when people are coming home. He said, if he'd have been in bed by 10, he'd still be alive today.
That's a sobering lesson.
And he went, there's one that works here and he's shattered every Monday.
Oh, if you're gay and you're listening, just be in bed earlier. Go out when sensible people go out.
Yeah.
You're right, we're not on the continent, Carl,
if you're gay and you're not in bed by 10, go home.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
5 to 2.
Absolutely.
Ricky Gervais. With me.
Steve Merchant.
Steve Merchant. Smirch.
Smirch.
The Smirch.
The Smirch.
And the K-Man. KP, Carl Pilkington, the K-Man.
Pressing the buttons.
Yeah. See that in Heat this week?
What was it?
About the campaign to stop Carl going back to Manchester. You know, because he's a miserable sort of northerner who goes, London's crap and I want to go back up north.
Yeah.
And I only need 40 quid a week to live up there like King and all that sort of
yes.
rubbish. Right, well, Boyd from Heat, well, we met him at the, that award ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And, we were saying about, oh, yeah, he really enjoys Carl. He's getting a lot of,
oh, people like Carl.
And I was going, oh, yeah, but he's thinking of leaving. He's going, oh, start a campaign. And he did, and he put it in there. So the campaign, so write in if you like Carl. If you think he's really annoying, then we'll stop talking to him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like him.
I love him.
Yeah.
Have you ever read the, the White Van Man column in The Sun, Carl.
I've seen it,
have you yeah. familiar with this? This is where every day in The Sun they interview a guy who drives a van, a white van, just, you know, in order to get the kind of voice of the man on the street in the paper. Oh. And he has to answer, or just give his opinions, really, on events that have made the news each week. Just thought we could maybe throw some of these at you, Carl.
Go on.
Because we know, to see what your views are.
Yeah.
So, just the first thing that comes to your mind, the sort of, your initial reaction to
it's
each of these.
It's top of all things, but you don't need to know about them, it's just your philosophy on it,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, just your views.
You know, yeah.
I have had a few days off this week, remember, so I don't know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you stayed in London, though, didn't you?
Yeah,
you didn't bury yourself, did yeah. you?
I normally see the news, but I didn't this
okay.
week.
Okay. So, what are your view? What was your view on Will Young beating Gareth Gates in the final of Pop Idol?
Don't like him. You know what I was thinking about when I was watching it all the way through?
Yeah.
How he looks like he's got a wire coat hanger in his gob. That sort of...
Right. Get his radio, Carl.
Radio.
It's a great face.
The funny face you're pulling, doesn't
yeah, you? Yeah, you know, but, you know, a radio.
And that's a problem for you, is it?
And just the way he's from a really rich family. I mm-hmm. opened up the paper on the Monday or something and it had like how he went to a posh school and he's got loads of money already.
Yeah.
It's just a bit...
Okay. You know. Yeah. Well, what's the second question?
There have been huge rises in street crime, especially muggings and carjackings. What's your view there?
More youth clubs are needed, aren't
they? You think more youth clubs?
I like that.
No, okay.
I like that because it's so 1950s.
Yeah.
It's sort of like you want a bobby on the beat that'll clip yeah. you around the ear.
So once they've come out of national service...
Yeah! No, I love that. And if you find someone smoking a wood bomb, you make them smoke 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is great. That is great.
Did you used to go to youth clubs?
Yeah.
And they kept you out of trouble?
You used to get into a fight afterwards when
sure.
you came out.
But for the sort of hour and a half you were
right.
there.
You had a bit of pool and some boxing and yeah. a bit of pop.
Yeah.
So more youth clubs, that's good.
I love him, I love him. If you're at home, just make notes, because this is brilliant stuff, honestly. You won't hear more honest, from the heart
exactly
stuff
opinions.
Than this. This is great, go on.
This is not pre-planned, these are your direct responses now.
Oh, I promise you, Carl did not know what we were going to do. He never knows what we're going to do, and he always answers honestly. That is the beauty of Carl.
What is
it's
your
not
view,
an act.
What is your view, Carl, on New York's former mayor becoming Sir Rudy Giuliani? Sir Rudy Giuliani.
Is he happy with it?
He appears to be pleased with it.
Let it go ahead.
Fair enough.
Let okay. it go ahead! Oh, he's genius.
Okay,
is he happy with it? He's like your nan!
Yeah, yeah. What do you make of Michael Greco's character Beppe being axed from EastEnders? Problem for you?
The whole soap thing. What's it's back in Coronation Street, isn't she? What's her name?
Who?
Bette Lins. She yeah. thought she'd go off and be yeah. a bigger star.
Yeah.
All went wrong. And now she's coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Always happens, doesn't
Beppe
it?
Will be back.
Yeah.
No one really cares.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. What was the final one? Van reply? That was the guy.
The White Van Man says, obviously they feel the character has run his course, but yeah. I think he's a pretty good actor and I can't understand why. See, I mean, obviously there's a White Van Man there who's also got an opinion on script development.
The through line,
the narrative through line of soap opera.
The 12-week narrative, the arc really shows
it's
itself
just
up.
The two last ones I want your opinion on here. What do you make of a cat that's been cloned in a secret 2.5 million research project?
To find out what?
If they can clone cats, yeah.
Have they had to hurt it?
Sorry?
Have they had to sort of hurt it to do that?
Have they had to hurt it?
Yeah, or is it just scraping its tongue for some stuff?
I think the cat's fine. The point is that they're cloning another creature which is potentially very dangerous. Have you seen that film where they bring Hitler back?
That cat. What if that cat turned out to be a world dictator?
Exactly. What do you reckon of cloning generally, Carl? You concerned about it?
I think they're cloning for organs, you know, they grow them for the, you know.
Do you know what cloning means?
Yeah, it's when you, like, make something else that's the same, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to do any harm.
Okay. And,
that's great.
And finally...
What do you on the World Council?
Yeah, yeah. Finally, what do you make of some city workers who were caught bonking in the glass lifts of the Lloyds building?
What do I make of it?
Yeah. Is that a problem for you? Do you think that's unprofessional?
Was it the lunch break or...?
I think it was lunch break.
Yeah. It was their own...
It's alright.
It's their own time, I think, fair enough. It only takes 45 seconds to go from the bottom to the top, is that a problem? They moved quickly, they acted, you know, on instinct. You think fair enough, if they, that's their natural instincts and they're both consenting, you think fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Carl.
Thanks very much, Carl.
Carl, we'll have more of Carl's world-weary opinions next time on the show. Listen, I want to play a track that I love.
I can't wait for this track. It's by a great band. Just gonna do, before Steve does this, coming up, we're gonna give away a great game. I'm sort of clearing out my flat with Tony, and then we've got, you know, a lot of junk there. And, we're gonna give away a great game coming up. You've seen it, Steve. You're excited.
I'm looking forward to that. It's a board game.
It's a board game that we're all gonna sign. It's gonna be signed by Jerv Smirch, KP the K-Man.
From-
So you could win that.
The classic album Copper Blue by Sugar. Listening to it again recently, reminded how good it was.
Yeah.
This is the track Hoover Dam. Play it.
Right, okay, that's the first hour out of the way. Next hour, Steve, I've got a game to give away. As I say, I'm sort of cleaning out my flat a little bit, and, we were gonna throw away stuff, and I went to say, whoa. Don't throw that away.
Yeah.
I can give that away on the show, because XFM don't give us anything to give away.
No.
Does anyone care what happens weekends?
No.
There's people coming here going, oh, he hasn't turned up, fiddling with stuff, fire alarms going off, the library, but we were looking for a track we played a couple of weeks ago on the same album, and it's gone.
Yeah, it's been pinched since we last played it.
This is a, I can't believe it, they're moving, that's a, like a tip out there, and I have to-
Yeah. No, it is a disgrace, Carl.
It is absolutely, it's disgusting.
How many of the DJs on this station have won multiple awards like Ricky Gervais?
Yeah. How many of them are double award winning? To have someone of my caliber. I hurt my ankle, didn't I? Moving a chair. I had to even move my own chair in here, and I hit my ankle. That would teach me not to wear socks.
Yeah.
The socks would have just taken out the sting.
I think just walking around barefoot generally is a bad idea in London. You know, there's the needles, Rick, there's all sorts
of
stuff.
I know, or that, well, Posh does it in her video, she walks around barefoot.
Oh, you love
my
it.
My heart's got a mind of its own.
Ricky absolutely loves the current Victoria Beckham.
Yeah. The sentiment, my heart's got a mind of its own. It's like, doesn't matter what I'm thinking in my head, my heart says something else. Of course, what we did for the last week was change the lyrics.
Just walked around for ages.
Does anyone else do that? Just going, things like, my wife's got a cock of her own.
Seriously, hours of amusement doing that.
Just changing it.
My knob's got some balls of its own.
We've done that for a week. Meant to be working.
Yeah. Anyway, you were gonna give away this game, Rick.
Yeah, it's called Donutters. And it's a game for four players, or two to four
players.
Have
you ever played it yourself?
I watched. We sort of got it for a party and I watched some people.
Can I try and sell it to punters who may-
Yeah, go on.
Play the part of a crazy donut-loving elephant in this hilarious game of fun and fast action.
Yeah. You put on a little elephant thing and you have to pull up the get up the donuts.
Brilliant. Can you be the first elephant to get all your donuts on your trunk? Be the first one- sorry, the first one is-
Sorry, this isn't a sex game, by the way. There's no euphemisms there.
Some of this is a bit slightly damaged, the packaging, that's why I couldn't read that.
You're joking.
Yeah. But don't worry, because you're not asking much for this, are you? We'll start at £5. Bear in mind it'll be signed by double award winning Ricky Gervais.
No, of course it's free. And, Carl went, have you got a question? I went, no. He said, well, something about the elephant man.
Went, something about the elephant
yeah,
man?
Yeah, and I went, yeah. You know, John Merrick, he went, yeah. He went, yeah, something about that. Awful, wasn't it? I went, you know where Michael Jackson actually bid for the skeleton of that? And, he went, what, would the skeleton be affected? I went, well, that, it grows, it, that's what happens, it's nice. And he went, you don't see any of that about these days, do you? Any great, I just said save it.
Although, of course, you have to put on these masks when you play Donutters, so in a strange way, that looks kind of Merrick-esque.
Yeah.
And, the game, Rick, I should just tell people listening, is elephantastic.
It is.
It says that on the box.
It is elephantastic. It is elephantastic.
I mean, you yourself, can I say a question, actually? This
go
is
on.
A possible question.
Okay. Should we sign it first?
We should sign it, but, based on the Elephant Man question, obviously, we all know who directed the Elephant Man film.
Sure. Parker? No.
David Lynch.
Lynch, of course, yeah.
But, do you know who one of the people that got that film made was? He's a very famous comedian. It was his production company that got it up and running. He may be an executive producer, I think he was even the producer of it. And, he's an famous American comic, actually. You wouldn't imagine this was the same guy who is also producing a very serious, sober film like The Elephant Man, alright? We want to know who was that man.
It's a bit hard for that.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that'll sort of, that'll separate
bit
the
hard for
from
that.
The chaff.
Hold on, have you seen anything else that's elephantastic? Not even Wellerphant was Elephantastic. He was Wellerphantastic.
Rick, have you got any more memorabilia that you want to give
yeah,
people? Maybe get rid of.
Weeks? Yeah.
Because I have to say, I've got
the
loads
council won't take it away.
I've got loads of junk in my house. I've got an old fridge freezer in the front garden. Anyone's welcome to come and pick that up anytime. I'll sign it for them.
But what about children climbing in it? That's not one of those with the handles, is it?
There's several children trapped in there at the moment. Yeah, but that's a sobering lesson. You know the council who won't come and pick it up.
It's a problem though, isn't it? Because you can't just
smash it up. You're right.
Anymore.
No.
I don't know what you meant to do.
Well, listen, right. When I was growing up, I remember the council used to charge £5 or something to take away like cookers and fridges. So my dad used to bury them down the bottom of my garden. I don't know. There's a cooker. There's a fridge. There's a freezer of some sort. There's a dog and a couple of cats. They were dead.
I'm not
to be
saying
fair.
My father's quite a mean man, as you know that. But he, my dad used to do that with dead relatives.
Yeah, because those funeral parties
very,
take the piss.
Very expensive.
So a funeral can be, you know, up to £40.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Whereas so a shovel borrowed off the bloke next door.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a massive saving.
And not given back, to be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, he's going to go soon. What's he going
to
say?
Okay, to win Donutters, signed by Mr. Ricky Gervais and two other blokes you've never heard of. Is that fantastic?
Yeah.
And the question is, what was the famous name, of the famous comedian, American
Give out the number, give out the number.
That produced and had heavy production involvement in the film The Elephant Man. The email address is ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk. Carl, what's the phone number?
08700 800 1234.
Right, next up, we've had a lot of requests. Carl's popularity is growing. They want to hear his super mega mix, the Britney Spears thing. Big it up, big it up.
Yeah, it's good.
No, tell us what it is.
It.
All right, it's Mark B and Blade, the vocals of The Unknown over Britney Spears. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Let's hear it. It's highly illegal.
Go on then. Back announce it, Carl. It's yours. Go on.
That's Mark being played there with a bootleg.
And what's it called? You've called it something, haven't you? You cleverly called it something. What did you call it?
Nick this record one more time.
Good. Very good.
Carl Pilkington there breaking all kinds of copyright rules.
Now, coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit of feng shui. The art of moving things around so it's better.
The ancient oriental art of rearranging your living room.
Yeah, the ancient art of don't sit near a window.
Exactly.
Because you won't get any money for it. And we've got a book.
Well, we've been exploring feng shui for our amusement.
Yeah, and we're going to be reading some great things.
This is just good. It's good, solid feng shui advice for us.
I mean, what do we need to know? I mean, just keep those questions coming. If you've got any question for Carl, don't forget that's an ongoing thing. Anything in the world, any question, personal problems, philosophies, online, it can be out of the. Just ask Carl if you want. You know, just ask Carl. Okay. All right, Carl, you're up for that, aren't you?
Yeah. That's
and right. You give your honest opinion, won't you? Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we give away, Donutters?
Oh, is this what? It's been won. Who's won it, Carl?
Scott, Hammond.
Well done, Scott.
He'll be loving that. He's probably gonna have a party, especially to play Donutters.
We've had a number of right answers, but I'm afraid Scott's the winner. And the question, of course, was which famous American comedian was heavily involved in the production of the film The Elephant Man? It was, of course, Mel Brooks.
Surprising.
And, he's got a company called Brooks Films.
Our first person that called in. I think he was a bit confused. He said, is it testicles?
Yeah, yeah.
When what? The producer went, testicles?
Yeah. What was that illness years ago? Right? There was, a couple of lads at our school.
Oh, yeah.
Had really big heads.
Right.
And webbed fingers.
And webbed fingers?
And
sorry, wait. Were that? Hold on, did you find them in a pond? Did they used to be little tadpoles?
No, Carl, you're not confusing your past with an old episode of Doctor Who, are you?
Called these two.
I didn't mix with them.
Right.
It was just like,
of course not.
There was nobody thought anything of it at school because you used to it.
Yeah, it was. It's the north.
There goes the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah. He's late.
Brilliant at trigonometry.
He's late for double maths.
Yeah.
But I didn't think anything
what
of it.
What is it called? What is the disease called where two fellas are they
not even related?
Rubbish.
Not related.
Were you near a nuclear power station when you were growing up?
Yeah.
You weren't really?
Yeah.
God, this explains so much.
This has got a bit heavy.
I don't think that's it.
Hey, talking of enormous heads.
Yeah.
You were at the Pop Idol final, weren't you, Rick? You went in there. Just because, obviously, Rick's a huge fan of Pop Idol. He wanted to be there. He wanted to give his support.
Quite seriously. There was no irony there.
He genuinely is a fan of it. And he was, you sort of had photos taken with various people.
Yeah, of course.
Because you were a bit drunk and you wanted to have a memento of it. And it's obviously a picture of you with fat man Rick Waller.
Yeah.
But the best one is a picture of Ricky and his girlfriend with Dr. Fox, whose head
is twice the size of mine.
Of any other head. It's quite remarkable. I don't know how they
make it. He's a lovely bloke, and he was really nice to meet him and everything. But in the bit, and he looks like an immaculate tan, and he's always happy, and he's, you know, he's
It looks
really
on the picture, it looks like someone you might see in a carnival who's built a huge papier-mâché head. And it's just, we're like Frank Sidebottom, just sort of walking down the road. It's just incredible.
Dr. Fox didn't used to go to your school, did he? He used to hang around with a mate. They were great swimmers. They were brilliant swimmers. Oh, God.
Have we got another song lined up?
Yeah, what are we going to play?
Bit of Fromange.
Bit of who?
Fromange.
Let's hear it.
What do you want to know? Ratio of Witness. It's one of those little books that you see at the sort of like the front desk of like Waterstones or Dillon's or one of those. And it's just, it's a little guide. It's, should I say what it is? I'm allowed, aren't I? Lillian Tu's little book of, Feng Shui. And, obviously she can't go into it in depth, but it's some little, you know.
Just some little sort of nuggets, I suppose.
Yeah, ratio of windows. The ratio of windows to doors in your rooms should not exceed 3-1. Too many windows calls all your luck to seep away. Obviously. Hello. it is also better not to have windows on the wall opposite the door.
Is that the case in your place, Carl? Because you may need to brick that up when you get back later.
I always remember, I used to work nights.
Yeah.
Right? And it was when my brother just sort of got kicked out of the army.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad went away on holiday, so he was staying with us.
He's got to write a book, this bloke. And, you have got to write a book, Carl. Go on.
I came back, and there was women everywhere. There's women in every bed in the house. I thought, where am I going to sleep?
Had he set up a brothel? What?
So, no, it's just a bit of a one.
That's impressive, though, a girl in every single bed. I mean,
he was mad. So, I slept on the sofa downstairs, and I didn't sleep that well.
Yeah.
But I slept on it before when it was facing a different way.
Sure.
And I had a good sleep.
So for you, that's proved the worth of Feng Shui.
Yeah, I think there's something in it.
Did you honestly think there's something in it, though?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay, well, just read a few of the others, Rick.
Okay, well, it's an obvious. I think most people know this one. Displayed a three-legged frog for luck. Look for a three-legged frog. You can buy one from any Chinese supermarket. and place it in the vicinity of your front door, facing inwards as if it has just come into the house. Don't place the frog facing the door! Please.
Oh, come on, people. What? Think before you place your frog.
I mean, this really is. I mean, but.
What's the last page? Because that will be the most important one.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
The last one I
The wealth vase. Make a wealth vase and keep it hidden in your cupboard. It can be made of gold, crystal or glass. Can I just say something? If you've got a vase made of gold, you're probably all right for money anyway.
Yeah, sure. But this is the wealth vase. How to make the wealth vase?
Fill it with semi-precious stones and with soil taken from a rich man's garden.
So just find the soil of a rich man. Take some soil from a rich man.
This is like bury a piece of steak and the wart will go.
Yes.
I have a tooth of frog. This is...
It's the one where with the gods. Can you find that one?
Oh, where's that one? Yeah.
What do you make of Feng Shui, Carl? Is it something you believe in?
Well, like I said, I didn't sleep well on the sofa when it was...
So for you, that's proof positive.
Yeah, you've got to get it right, haven't you?
I'd like Carl to read this out.
Okay.
Yeah, do you mind? Read it out, just read it out loud.
Which one?
Yeah, the gods are here, right, okay.
Just read that, that's such a good bit.
The gods.
Yeah.
Of wealth into your home.
Yeah.
The Chinese have several gods of wealth.
Yeah.
Which they display in their homes to attract... What? Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My personal favourite is T.C.S. Chi Yi.
Yeah.
Who sits on a tiger.
He sits on a tiger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait.
It's pretty difficult to find this fella.
Yeah.
If you could use Kang Kung, or the three star gods, oh no.
Read them out!
Read out the names of the star gods.
F-U-K.
Read it out! It's a Chinese god! You're allowed to say Chinese god on the radio.
No.
You are allowed to say Chinese-
You're allowed to say it, you say it then.
Well, you're so immature!
Read the three of them out, really.
Okay, if he is difficult to find, you should use Quan Kung or the three star gods, Fuck Luck and Sal, all of whom bring wealth and prosperity.
Now, what were the names of the gods again? Because if I'm making a note at home, Rick,
it's a Chinese god.
Yeah, there's Quan Kung, or you can use Luck, Sal.
You can't.
What? But it's a god, F-U-K, that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, I assume. I don't know. If we're pronouncing it wrong, I really apologise.
Apologies if we're offending anyone who's of an oriental persuasion. But that's Quan Kung or Luck, Sal or Fuck. And any of those gods are available at a Chinese supermarket.
Near you?
Yeah.
So there, that's, Feng Shui.
Feng Shui sorted.
We've given away donutters. We've talked a little bit about, band names today. We've, more insight into Carl's Psyche.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, during that record, you said, "Are we knock everything?" You saw something about the Bermuda Triangle, didn't you? That
yeah, when I talked about Ghost, you sort of just, because you don't believe in it. I think it's because you're scared of it, to be honest, and you can't admit to understanding it and
sure.
actually believing in it.
Sure.
Thing on last night, Steve.
Yes.
Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know much about that?
Mainly the, song
yeah.
by, what was his name?
What's his name?
Bermuda Triangle, where people disappear.
No,
Bermuda Triangle.
What's his name? No, Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the lyrics? Bermuda Triangle, where people disappear. Bermuda Triangle, don't go near.
Yeah.
I shouldn't really make a joke out of it.
No, you're right. Go on.
But what it is, right? There's a programme saying what it's about. What do you know about it?
As I say, mainly from what Barry's told me, but certainly planes and various boats have gone missing within the Bermuda Triangle.
Planes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously that documentary didn't explore
it. He learned a lot about that for that. I learned a lot about American history through We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel.
Again, most of my knowledge of the sort of, you know, Tsarist Russia comes from
Rasputin by Boney M.
Well,
yeah. He was the lover of the Russian queen.
They put some poison into his wine.
Yeah, yeah. They shot him till he was dead.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, go on.
Right. Well,
oh, those right. Russians.
Sort of, bit of an earthquake in the sea.
Sure.
Lets out methane gas.
Okay. Yeah.
And apparently, if methane gas, if you were swimming out in the sea.
Yeah.
And there was like an earthquake and some methane came out.
Yes.
You can't swim in it, you just sink.
Okay.
Even if you're a good swimmer.
What happens if you're two lads from your school? And they
heads.
Yeah, that's like a buoy. So you can see them a mile off and their webbed hands would get them into shore.
Because they did actually say even if you're wearing a life jacket, if the water's full of methane, right.
You just sink.
You just sink. So what it's saying is, boats have gone across the sea, got a load of methane in the sea, and the boat just sinks.
Right. What about the planes?
Is it then sort of planes with little sort of floaty things
could
on?
Could be.
That'll be the sort they've landed in the sea.
Right.
And methane's coming.
Well, sorry, Carl, what did the documentary say? Not I imagine.
Yeah, your hypothesis might be wrong.
Yeah, what did they say in the documentary?
They didn't cover that bit. They
didn't cover the planes.
They didn't do the planes.
Something else they said about it, though.
Go on.
Loch Ness, the monster.
Yep.
Sure.
Probably doesn't exist.
Okay.
What it is.
Interesting. Hold on, interesting. Oh, interesting. Yeah. What they thought it the Loch Ness probably didn't exist.
Curious viewpoint.
Hold on. What proof have they got for that, Carl? How can they go around saying stupid things like that?
It's methane.
Right. Again, in Loch Ness.
And people have seen, what's the lake it's in?
Loch Ness.
Yeah.
It being the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where it lives. That's how it finds its way home.
That's certainly the clue.
Yeah, it is good. And it's if it's out wandering, it goes, excuse me, would you know where I'm being the Loch Ness monster? Where would I be going? Oh, you'd be going to the Loch Ness if that's your home. It's away over there, monster, you.
So the bubbles from the methane bubble up out of the water.
Yeah.
And people think, oh God, it's a monster's head. But it's not, it's just water sort of shooting up because of the bubbles.
Well, that's two of the great mysteries of the universe solved by Carl P. on a Saturday afternoon.
That is fantastic. Yeah. So, that makes me think a lot of things. So, you know when mediums are sort of like going, oh, I've got something coming through. Mm. Do you think they are exhaling a lot of methane gas? And thus making them not think straight? Do you think everything's down to methane gas? Do you think that all the mysteries of the universe are down to methane gas, Carl? What did it say in the documentary you saw?
About what?
What was the budgie happy? We know that budgie was sad. Was it in a room? Because they used to take canaries down the mines, didn't they? They used to take canaries down the mines, they'd smell the methane, and then the budgie would be happy.
I'm not going to teach anymore.
Play record. Nearly through, we've had a few laughs again,
yep.
A few tears.
Absolutely, as always.
A few excuse me, Emma. Don't be alarmed. I look quite frightening, but merely a nice monster. I seem to have lost my way home. Could you direct me in the right direction?
Nice to meet you. Yeah, Carl Pilkington.
Hi.
What's your name?
Why do you need to know my name?
Well, it might help me to find out where you come from.
Oh, my name's the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, all right. Give me a second. What was your name again?
Loch Ness Monster.
See, this is what I mean. When you came in, you're all over me, like a rash.
Being nice to you.
Yeah. Gets towards the end, you get nasty.
It's the phone. Answer it. See who it is.
Can you give us a second, listeners? Just amuse yourselves for a moment.
Yeah.
We're just speaking to, Carl's just on the phone there, speaking to someone. we'll just keep you abreast of who that is. Time it's 10:03.
Wants to know if you're doing a live show somewhere tonight.
So just a private call now. Asking Ricky.
I am, yeah.
Later.
But Ricky, but I don't want to say it now. I'll ask.
I've got one person now.
Hits a comedy office, and often performs live at different venues around the country.
Okay.
So while those two take care of business. All right, guys, have you finished that private call? Jeez, that was outrageous. You know you're a fan of Feng Shui, Carl, and you believe it's all true. I just run this one past you just on the off chance.
Yeah.
Because it may be that you change your opinion slightly.
Yeah.
Feng Shui teaches you to use your environment wisely.
Sure.
If your land and the surrounding area is undulating, it's said to house auspicious dragons. When land is flat and featureless, the dragon is missing and the land is said to be less auspicious.
Excuse me, they call me the, Brixton Dragon.
Sure, sure.
I seem to have lost my way. I know it's South London somewhere, but, could you help me find my home?
What's your name?
Well, they call me the Brixton Dragon.
Right, where are you from?
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean, aye.
Oh, the caveman. So does that make you query at all, the dragon?
I'm not into it that much.
Right,
I'm just saying that if you have your head at one end of the bed rather than the other, it might make a difference to your night's sleep.
It's not so much feng shui, though, is it, as sort of good advice, generally. When you went home...
Don't sleep on the end of a spike near a cliff.
Good advice.
I mean, that's good advice, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you went home and the house was full of women, why did you sleep on the sofa? Why did you not pop upstairs and sort of...
Into a warm bed.
Yeah, with a woman. were they dressed, or... Is your brother still sort of have those kind of parties, or...?
I haven't seen him for years.
Sure. Where's he living now?
I don't know.
Okay.
What's his name?
Mark.
He's not known as, like, Moss Side Mark.
Because that could be a clue.
10 Dawlish Road Mark.
He's never out of prison long enough to get a nickname.
Hey, really? Steady on. It's getting a bit heavy, isn't it?
God. Is this what's motivated a lot of your anxiety?
Yeah.
The hair loss, that sort of thing?
We always go a little bit too far, don't we?
A little bit dark at the end of the show.
I know. Well, it's, Well,
sorry about that. Then for Pete.
Oh, Pete wanting a little bit of Muse. Yeah, if Pete wants it. I mean, I'm not a big fan. I don't mind Muse. I've still not got over them doing that, summertime song. What was it called?
Nina Simone cover, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, let's not bring the show down.
No.
Let's play Muse and then we'll be
pretty
much
finished. South Kensington. Yeah. Plug in, baby.
Let's enjoy it.